Alex, hello, how are you?
I'm doing good, and how are you?
I'm good. I'm glad that we finally made it happen because we've
Yes.
tried doing this quite a few times, and today is the day.
Yes, today is the day. We had a couple mishaps, but we managed. I'm
We
happy to
did
be here. Thank you
manage.
for
We
having me.
did. No, thank you so much for your time. So, you were just telling me now that you are currently moving or have been moving over the last week to Lisbon.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I'm a very new local here. I mean, I speak Portuguese. My dad's Brazilian, and he actually is my grandfather and my grandmother are Portuguese. So it does feel a lot like home. And yeah, I just moved to Sunny City now. It's amazing. Weather is beautiful. So much better than Berlin.
Lisbon's a beautiful city. I absolutely
It
love
is.
Lisbon.
It
How
is.
does it compare to Berlin? First of all, weather-wise, because is it quite nice and sunny over there at the moment?
Yes, it is. I mean, you can probably see it, but it's a beautiful day. Diego, who is one of my best friends and also my touring photographer, he's still living in Berlin, and he had to fly back on Saturday, and he sent me a message. Well, I guess this is my life now, and it was, I think, 14 degrees and raining, and I was like, okay, I do not regret moving here at all. But it's beautiful. I mean, Lisbon, it's hard to compare. You know, Lisbon, of course, is a lot smaller than Berlin, but Berlin is a lot smaller than São Paulo, which is where I grew up in Brazil. So I've been going to smaller and smaller cities, but I like it. The pace is a bit slower. And for us who are traveling constantly and, you know, have this kind of crazy lifestyle, I think it's cool to live in a place where, you know, you have that more chilled mentality and everything is a bit, you know, slower and you take a bit more time and you enjoy the moment a little bit more. So I'm really happy with my decision for sure.
I was just going to say that I think for people that are like traveling loads and touring, I guess going back to a place that is not so crazy, hectic,
Yeah.
rush lifestyle is probably quite nice.
Absolutely. I think so. This is something that I was also talking to some other colleagues about it. Enrico, for example, we played together at Tomorrowland, and we met the next morning, and he was talking to me about his experience, and that's the first thing he said. He was like, "Man, I'm so happy to be there because it forces me to slow down a little bit, at least during the week. So on the weekends, you know, we're running around doing flights and doing this and doing that, but during the week, it's a different, it's a different pace, it's a different lifestyle. So,
And
yeah,
there's also a lot of the music industry over there now. I think over the
yes."
last couple of years, a lot of people, I know I've interviewed a lot of artists that have said, "Oh, I'm moving," or have recently moved to Lisbon. So it feels like there
Yeah.
must be a really nice community over there.
Absolutely. There is a really nice community. It's so cool as well because we're all from different, most of us aren't even making the same kind of music. But we can, you know, we all hang out. We're all friends. And of course, some of us are making the same kind of music, like me, Weber and Victor and whatnot. But it's something that I really missed because I love spending time with my friends and my loved ones, and I think that's one of the most important things, and that's something that I really missed in Berlin because, of course, my whole family lives in Brazil. So after a couple of years, I managed to move my dog out there to Berlin, but he passed away last year, so I
Oh, I'm
kind of went back
sorry.
to, yeah, that happens. It's okay. I mean, it sucks, of course, but you know, we had 10 good years together, so I'm happy.
Amazing.
And yeah, I missed it. And just yesterday we were at the beach. We went to this beach club and we had some really good meals and yeah, just hanging out. And I had forgotten how nice that was, just hanging out with colleagues and not just colleagues, but friends really. And it's a really nice community. I'm really looking forward to mingling more and more here.
Nice. So you touched
Yeah.
up on a little bit about growing up, and I'd like to just talk a little bit more about your beginnings. And
Sure.
I'd love to know, where is it that everything kind of started for you? Where did your love for music come from?
I'm not a trick. I mean, it's hard for me to say exactly when it started. I do have memories listening to my dad's Elvis LPs and some of my mom's like electronic dance music, like early on Ace of Base and stuff like that. I used to love that. Then I kind of went into the rock and roll world and metal. I had a couple of cover bands. play the drums and the guitar and whatnot, which is funny because most of us have that kind of background. Weber, Victor, they all have kind of a rock and roll background, which I think is curious. Well, I was doing that in school, and I think I was around 16 or 17 when I went to my first rave party. It was near my house, and I was just blown away. I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Near your house in Sao Paulo?
Near my house in Sao Paulo, sorry. Okay. Yeah. So I was born in Brazil, but I grew up in Germany for the first 7 years of my life. Then the whole family moved back to Brazil. And then I was studying in a German school in Sao Paulo. So thank God I still, you know, managed to keep my German. I basically just started going to these raves and small raves in Sao Paulo. I met a friend who I hadn't seen in a long time, who was now DJing. So one thing led to another. One day he just invited me to be on stage, and I thought that was also the coolest thing, and I wanted to understand more about it, and I love to learn new things. And it was really, I think that was the time. I think between 16 and 17, I started DJing at that time. I think a year or two later, the kind of interest for making music came. I was like, why am I just playing other people's music when I can make my own? And I think I was about 18 at the time when that happened. So that was the beginning. After that, I moved to Germany, or actually to Amsterdam, to study audio engineering. I was already studying in a university in Brazil, but something completely different, publicity and marketing, which now actually is very fitting given how the market is nowadays for DJs.
Absolutely. So I guess, it all works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it all works out. But I dropped out of university and just went to study audio engineering in Europe, finished my course in Germany. And then I think in 2008 or 2009, I moved back to Brazil. Mm-hmm. Stayed there for almost 10 years, I think 8 or 9 years, and since late 2018 I'm back in Europe, so I'm kind of all over the place, but that's a short summary of it at least.
I loved a post that you put up not long ago, and it was that you found your first SoundCloud from your SoundCloud account from I think it was at 2007 making Psytrance.
Yeah, exactly.
That must have been so much fun to come across.
It was. I mean, I knew it. I had come across it a few years earlier, but I just figured, you know, SoundCloud would eventually delete it because of it's being unused, because I forgot. I don't even know which email that is linked to. So I don't really have any kind of power over that account. It's just there for perpetuity, I guess, which is super cool. But that was really nice, honestly. That was, in a way, it's also a good reminder of how far I've come as well. And it was cool. I always love these things. I'm a bit of a nostalgic person, so I love finding these things or old pictures, and you're like, oh my God, remember that time and how things change over the years. And that was a really good one. And I was kind of unsure about posting it, but I'm happy I did because I got so many good feedback. I mean, people loved it. They're like, oh, look at you, all young. It's like a 22-year-old Alex making Psytrance, living in Amsterdam. So it was really cool. It was a nice find.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I totally agree with you. I think sometimes life is so quick paced and everything happens so quickly that sometimes we actually forget to stop and look back on what we have done,
Absolutely.
What we've achieved, what we have enjoyed, what maybe we haven't enjoyed. And finding things like that really just kind of takes you back and kind of grounds you a little
Absolutely.
Bit as well.
Absolutely. I think so. It's always, especially for, you know, when you're living this kind of fast lifestyle and you're always looking for the next thing and you're planning a year ahead and da-da-da. It's good to sometimes just take a moment and, look back a little bit and be like, you know, give yourself a bit of a tap on the shoulder. If not, at least just remember those times for what they were as well, because it was great. And now for me, looking back, I remember being worried about so many things that ended up working out. But, you know, I was in the beginning of my career and I just was hoping that I would get a big break or something like that. Just making completely different music. It was a completely different world as well. I mean, now again, Psytrance is, and I mean, it never was not cool, but for the longest time, I always tried to keep those influences from Psytrance out of my music, because I thought that it would, I wanted to make what people considered like just real techno, and I didn't want to influence it with anything else. But now again, you know, funnily enough, as the world turns, the side techno kind of thing is very cool again, and everyone's doing it.
I've had some of the best times of my life at Psytrance festivals.
Yes, absolutely. In terms of festivals, I think psytrance festivals are honestly by far the best vibe that you can have. Places like Boom, for example, you know, it's really
incredible.
It's like those festivals and those parties that I used to go to when I was 16, 17. Just that really nice vibe. Everyone's having a good time. No phones, you know, everyone's just living in the moment and just being friendly to each other. And that's something that psytrance has that I'm not sure if techno will ever have. I'm not sure. I mean, maybe not, it used to, but not anymore. Who was I talking about that? I remember, I think it was Enrico's, where I was like, do you wonder if things will ever get back to the way they were? Where, you know, no phones, people just go for the fun of it and for the music and not for the post or the cloud or the hype or whatever. And we don't know. It's a tricky question. I don't know if things will ever get back to that.
It is a tricky question. I mean, yeah. I think we all hope that it would do one day, but I don't know. We've come so far in this now. It's like, how do you get back from that? You know?
Exactly. And it's a new generation of people, of ravers as well. You know, the people who started with us are mostly now out of it. You know, most of the people I know from my younger years, you know, they kind of just outgrew it a little bit, or just, you know, especially after the pandemic, I think a lot of them, you know, sat down on the couch and never really got up again. You know, they were like, know what? I just prefer to be home and chill instead of you going out and doing this, or maybe let's just go out and have something to eat. And I think that a lot of people kind of never came back into the scene. And of course, and I'm happy that this happened. We had an influx of a lot of new young people, but that they grew up in completely different ways. They already grew up. They weren't like us who, we saw all of that happen. Pagers, internet, you know, cell phones, and then cell phones having cameras and all that stuff. They were basically born into it, so they don't know anything else. And it's normal, basically. Yeah. So, yeah.
And everything's just happened so fast as well. It feels like it's clicking a finger and all of a sudden it's like everybody has an iPhone, you know?
Yes, exactly. Whereas it is. It does. Looking back, it does feel like it was so fast. But yeah, it's, you know, a sign of the times. Digital inclusion, as they say.
Absolutely. What do you think has been the most difficult part of your career so far?
That's a good one. I think dealing with the... I think that the most difficult part now, looking back, is dealing with just the mental aspect of it. I think the quote-unquote artist life, rejection, you know, that need for a validation and approval from your peers or from fans and whatnot. I always had a big problem. I mean, not just me, I guess this is a common thing, but I always had a big issue with haters. You know, it would be, you know, you would post some new music or something and you would get, I don't know, 50 people would be, oh, this is amazing. And all it took was one person to say, oh, this is terrible. And that would ruin my week, basically.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time and it's also just, I think, age and experience to be comfortable in my own shoes in a way and stop trying to you know, make music that I think other people would like and just make music that I like. And that, I think, is one of the biggest things that I've learned, which I also try to pass on in a way when I teach classes or do, you know, talks or anything like that. As cheesy as it sounds, I think that so many artists are just focused on that end goal, like playing that festival or, you know, getting to that fee or playing this and doing that or having that kind of touring schedule, that they get caught up in it and they don't enjoy some of the best years, which is really in the beginning when you're just fresh and everything's new and every new event you meet new people and you're always discovering new stuff in the studio, especially if you really enjoy making music. You know, the beginning is it's the best time because you learn new techniques or you learn to use a new instrument or a new plugin or whatnot, and it brings this freshness. And of course, as the learning curve, you know, changes over the years because, you know, there's fewer and far in between events like that where you're like, oh, this is really amazing. And I think staying motivated in that is something that I can see a lot of colleagues struggling with. You know, if they maybe don't have an agency or they just don't, it feels like it's not going anywhere. So I think in general for me, and I think for a lot of the people that I know that I'm close with, I think that's the hardest part, actually. It's just the whole mental game of it as well. And That's difficult.
I guess as well, going back to kind of what we're talking about as well, how like obviously technology changes and everything is so advanced now. I guess things like social media and you know, what's said online doesn't help that aspect at all. Yeah. I guess 10 years ago, I mean, obviously that was social media and all this, but it wasn't as active, let's say, as it probably is today, where it's in an instant, in like you could post one thing and in 2 seconds you could literally have any kind of comment.
Yes, exactly. And I'm not just that, as I think it's almost, it feels like an obligation now.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be an artist without having an online presence anymore. This is something that I do remember, risking sounding cheesy, but I do remember how it was when I started. You could just got booked and, you know, the promoter would promote and you just showed up and did your set and then you left and that was it. And who was there and had fun, and who didn't show up, and that was it. And there was no videos to be posted. And sometimes you would get, you know, someone covering the event, and then maybe 2 weeks later you would have some pictures on a website somewhere and that's it. Yeah. And then you could print them and save them for yourself, you know, if you found a picture of you and your friends on that evening. But nowadays it's really... I mean, I made a joke these days that I feel like DJs should start, you know, selling the space on their backs for advertisement, because all of we see basically on Instagram are just our backs and the crowd of people. Everyone makes the same kind of posts and it just looks all the same.
Everyone's doing good business there.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good business model. Because there's so many of us. But I guess, you know, we're all also just doing our best and trying to kind of play the game to the best of our abilities, without losing ourselves in it. But I think that I do love social media. I remember when I first downloaded Instagram, I loved it. I thought, well, this is amazing. This is so cool. Yeah. But it changes over the years, and this feeling of the sense of obligation taints the whole experience a little bit, because, you know, it becomes a business really. And you have to remind yourself, oh, I got to post this. And it's been a few days since I did that and whatnot and so on and so on.
Yeah. And then there's always like all the new updates, and then there's Reels, and then there's TikToks, and then there's, you know, all of these new apps. Absolutely. And things that it's like, sometimes it can be a little bit overwhelming with everything you have to keep up on.
Yes, it is a lot, to be honest, but especially for us older folks who are not, you know, born into it, I guess, but it's okay. It takes a bit of getting used to, but it's doable. Again, it's part of what it has become now. You know, it's part of the business, so it's just part of what we do.
Exactly. We always like to ask everybody if they could give us 3 career highlights, 3 of like your all-time favorite memories or highlights that have happened since you started out. That is a really big question, because I know you've done.
Yeah, that is a big question, because there's so much time to look back on. Let me think. I think that one of the big ones for me was my first tour in Australia, because that's when I realized how far music goes without any of your influences. I was talking to Webb about it yesterday. One of the things I love about music is that once you put a track out, it kind of has a life on its own. It's not in your control anymore, and it just does its own thing. And sometimes you have really nice surprises of, you know, a couple of years later, someone tells you, oh man, that track from, I don't know, how long ago is something that they love, or something that initiated them into a certain genre or made them start DJing or stuff like that. And I remember when I went to Australia, having that experience, just being like, wow, like this is literally as far as I can go from home. And people love my music here. So that was a big one for me. That really opened my eyes in terms of the power that, you know, music has, especially on its own, once it's out of your hands. So that was a big one for me.
That's a really nice way of looking at that, actually. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And what else? I mean, one that is very fairly recent was my set at Tomorrowland. That was my last month. So that was something that, of course, I've always looked forward to and always wanted to be part of that event, because people told me how special it was and how well organized it was. And it's kind of a... not a staple, but I guess a milestone, you could say.
Milestone.
In a way.
Was it as good as you thought it was going to be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was even better than I thought it was going to be. It was really good. It was amazing. I mean, the crowd was great, having so many friends. We had so much fun. It was one of those almost perfect night where everything just went super smoothly, and you know, all of us had the time of our lives, and I made so many good memories. Some of them I need a cell phone to remember, of course, because it was late in the night. But it's all good. It's part of it as well.
See, cameras are good for some things.
Exactly, they are. Exactly. So that was for sure another highlight, and I'm trying to think of another one. I mean, I'm sure there's many, but something very significant. I think I could say that when I moved to Berlin was also one of them. Because I had a fairly successful career in Brazil. Things were going really well, but I wasn't really happy with the music that I was making. It just felt like I was making the same thing over and over again, because that's what really worked at the time in that market. And as I started traveling more often and started playing in different places around the world, I remember feeling this, how can I say this? I remember feeling that people outside of Brazil were just more open to different kinds of techno, and I could just play, you know, I could branch out a little bit more. So I remember it was a big scary thing for me moving out of my hometown, even though I had already lived in Europe to study, etc. It wasn't the same thing. It wasn't like, okay, I'm taking all of my stuff now and I'm moving and this is my life. So moving to Berlin was also a big milestone, I think, for me. It was almost like, okay, stuff just, it got real now. Now I'm here, this is it. And I kind of left my career in Brazil behind, which was also made me very nervous, because you're like kind of exchanging something that is already established and working for something that might work and might be better than the thing that you have right now, but it might also fail miserably. So you never really know. But I guess, you know, such is life, that every time I do take a big risk, thank God, things always end up working out in one way or another. So I'm happy I did that too. So yeah, those would be my top three, I guess.
I mean, yeah, that's a big change, like leaving a career behind. Well, not leaving a career behind, but leaving where you've kind of grown your career to move to another space. Mm-hmm. How, you said that when you were in Brazil, you kind of felt like you were kind of creating the same music and you were kind of going around in circles. How did your creativity change? Or what was it that actually, was it just being in a completely different zone, a completely different space that then kind of changed everything for you? And you kind of felt like, okay, I'm doing something different here. Was it that change of space, being around different people? What do you think it is that changes?
That's also a good question. I think it was a bit of everything, to be honest. But I do remember there's a few releases that I did in 2017, late 2017, beginning of 18, between 17 and 18, where it has already been established in my head that I was going to move and this is it and that was going to happen. And I was already, I mean, I've been coming to Europe for tours, 2-3 month tours for a few years already. So I had some experience, but I just remember those, if I look at my catalog of music, for me, you can very clearly see a change there where I really started getting influences from many different genres, and I really just kind of burst out of my little bubble that I had created myself. And started making some different stuff, and some of it, and in a weird way, when now that I look back, I even think like I feel I was more creative then than I am now, almost, even though this was 5, 6, 7 years ago, just because in that moment I just there was no worry. I wasn't, again, trying to please anything or anyone. I was just kind of experimenting and saying, okay, this is cool, let me try this. And I had many of these moments. Some of my best music, I feel, has been written when I just tried something that I had never done before. And I was like, okay, let me try this. I never did an acid track. Let me do an acid track. And then I did that, and it worked out great. And it was one of my biggest tracks and whatnot. And so those moments for me, I think, are the most special ones. It's just when you're, it almost takes me back to when I started, which was just me and my buddies in the studio making music. Yeah. And it's just for the fun of it. There's no worry about making a hit record or, you know, where, what will this bring me? Will people like it? Will my fans like it? Will people play this or not? It's just like, let's just sit down and, you know, have fun. And that is something that I try to go back to that as much as I can. It's hard though, but you know, I try to always remind myself.
What's the scene like in Brazil? I've never been to Brazil before, but what I am seeing is that there are so many Brazilian artists coming through. I mean, I live in Ibiza, more and more you see Brazilian artists on the lineups. We have so many more coming through the radio station that I work at as well. So I know that there's always been a music scene there. I just feel like more than ever, there's a lot more being coming over to our way. So what is the current scene like over there?
I mean, right now, the current scene is a bit hard for me to tell you because, you know, I haven't been there in a while. I do go maybe once a year to do a couple of gigs in South America and visit my parents. But it's, I mean, that's the thing. They do love, for example, techno, but it's a very tropical country. So it's very different than Berlin, you know. Berlin and techno kind of go hand in hand, you know, the kind of, you know, grayness and the city and the clubs and the vibe. So it's not really in Brazil. I feel they do have a big techno scene, but it's not something that goes year around. It's something that, you know, you have a few events that happen over the span of a year where people go, really big events like Time Warp even and stuff like that. But it's not something that I think happens all of the time. Having said that, I'm super happy to be seeing so many producers coming up, not just, you know, big names like Lucas, like Vintage Culture, who is now basically a staple in Ibiza and, you know, playing all, you know, many different places and whatnot, and Mochak as well, Pedro. But also producers. I mean, Victor has his own label now, which I think is really great because he's been finding some real gems and producers that even I had no idea existed and making insane music and giving them a platform to bring out their own stuff and, you know, bring this freshness in. I think it's great. And it makes me really happy to see Brazilians kind of coming up and taking over is a bit, would be a bit of a strong statement, but just, but you know, branching out. Maybe that's it. Yeah, they're branching out. Exactly. That's good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of Victor, you guys have just released Human Robot together. And am I right in saying that you guys hadn't released music together for almost a decade?
Yes, we had. I mean, there was a time when I was still living in I had a studio in my mom's basement, where we made, I think it was a span of 2 or 3 years where we were making music nonstop. Like we would meet every Wednesday basically and just make music. And we made some really, cool tracks back then. But, you know, then our own careers happened. We had to focus on our own thing. Relationships and whatnot. I mean, just life happens, I guess. And we just we got into the studio, but we never got to finishing stuff ever again because the more time passed, the more we were focused on our own thing. Just recently, I think, I don't even remember when it was. I think it was late last year or maybe beginning of this year. We sat down and we decided to give it a go. And weirdly enough, it just felt super right. And we, you know, that connection that we used to have in the studio was back, which was really great and was a lot of fun. Most of all, we had a lot of fun making music. Then we decided now the timing was right as well. Him having his own platform, his label, we said, you know, why not? You know, we don't have to send it out to anyone and ask for permission or see if people like it. Let's just put it out and see what happens. And I'm really happy we did. And the feedback so far has been really, really good. I'm quite happy.
Amazing. Well, just to finish off, is there anything that you have got coming up that you're like super looking forward to over the next couple of months, whether it be gig-wise or music-wise?
Yes, I do have a few. I do have my own EP coming out on Volta as well later this year. Me and Victor also have a second part of this kind of collab experience that we'll be bringing out on his label later this year. I do have another single coming out that I can't mention yet, but it's a track that everyone's been asking me about called Hydra that I wrote last year, and everyone's been asking me nonstop when it's going to come out. So fingers crossed, everyone. I hope that by the end of the year, it's coming because I really want to put that one out as well. Of course, then there's a South America tour where I'm going to be playing with Victor. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that because it hasn't been released yet. But, we're going to be playing at Tomorrowland. That's all I'm going to say. It's going to be really, really cool. Of course, you know, seeing my friends. And, I'm just excited for you know, what's to come now also with this big change. And some really special gigs. I might go back to Australia also early next year. So, I don't know. Let's see. A lot of cool things happening for sure.
Busy, Alex. Busy.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Listen, it's been so lovely to chat with you and get to know you a little bit more.
Likewise.
And I'm super excited about your move for you and everything that you've got coming up. And yeah, hopefully I'll see you on a dance floor somewhere.
Yes, absolutely. I would love that. Thank you so much for having me. I hope you have a great start of the week. And thanks everyone who's listening in as well. And yeah, we'll definitely see each other out there somewhere.
See you soon. Thank you, Alex.